This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
Welcome to The Straits Times, the big story podcast where we analyze key issues with our journalists and guest experts. The Straits Times' senior transport correspondent Christopher Tan joins us now to share more about the mechanical aspects of the crash. Welcome, Chris. So, Chris, BCA said that the shophouse sustained minimal damage, pointing a possibility that the impact wasn't that great. How then did the car catch fire?
Well, actually, in the first place, we don't really know how big the impact was. This is the initial assessment by the BCA. Even if the car was going in at high speed and had a great impact, the shophouse's integrity could still withstand such a crash because such buildings, especially when they're built back when, they're pretty solid. All right. But assuming, let's say, that it was a low-impact crash, that does not mean that it won't catch fire. Given the right circumstances, any car can catch fire. And if you look at SCDF records in the past, it's interesting to note that most vehicular fires occur with either diesel or CNG cars. Petrol cars actually form the minority. Now, whether this car was actually modified or not, we don't know for sure. The car has been towed to a pound, and I think the LTA will probably do an assessment to find out if indeed there were modifications made to the car. And as you know, any modification made to a car will somehow alter its integrity, alter its safety aspects. Cars are made to withstand fires, even in a fairly big crash. The fuel tank is situated mostly under the rear seat, so in the case of a rear collision, the impact doesn't come to the tank. The tank will withstand all kinds of impact. It's made of plastic now. Frontal side also. The fuel lines, they may break, but also again, the impact zones very seldom will compromise the region where these lines are compromised. And even if there were fuel leaks, unless it's very, very high heat or some kind of spark, it will not ignite. You know, it's not like what you see in Hollywood movies where, you know, a gunshot will set the whole thing ablaze. It's not so easy. But having said that, it does not mean that a car cannot catch fire. Even cars which are stationary sometimes catch fire because of electrical faults, right? Most fires actually occur from electrical faults, right? Not from impact.
Chris, so what about Tanjung Pagar Road itself, the road conditions? You know, what about the road conditions could have contributed to the crash, you think?
Well, no road in Singapore is made for racing, except for that Marina Bay stretch that we close every year for the night race, right? This stretch especially is extremely narrow, extremely curvy, and the part where we saw in that famous video that's being shared around, where the car sped past at close to 200 km per hour, there were at least two bends, fairly sharp bends, and at the second bend, there was a change in gradient. So you have a bend and a change in gradient. That kind of puts all kinds of forces that into a car. Plus the fact that this car was actually carrying five people. It's not meant to do that. It's a coupe, it's a four-seater. And if you have five on board, means at least one was not belted up. Right? At least one was not belted up. Or all three were not belted up. We don't know. Again, we don't know. But assuming that at least one was not belted up, and in the case of a sudden braking or sudden swerve, a swerving motion, and that person would have collided with either his fellow occupants, the roof, the seat in front, and that would have also caused quite a lot of injuries. And that may explain why they couldn't get out after the car came to a halt. Because if everybody was belted up and airbags were working, you would very likely be able to walk away, even in a fairly huge crash. So the thing here, it was the fire. A fire would take probably a few seconds to ignite and then to set the cabin ablaze. If they were still conscious, there is some likelihood that they could still unbelt, open a door, and escape. Of course, it's harder for the rear occupants because this is a two-door. So it's a confluence of many factors, right? And maybe many errors, if you want.
Right.
First thing, it shouldn't be going at that speed. The car shouldn't be having five people on board. Right? And if the car was modified, then that adds another extra element into the whole thing. Right? But even in the best of conditions, that stretch of road is challenging. It's challenging even for someone like Hamilton, right? I mean, it's not a straight, wide road, to accommodate that kind of speed.
Well, Christopher, the traffic police said they would explore further enforcement operations in the vicinity, as well as road calming measures to slow traffic down. What kind of measures would work best, do you think?
First of all, I think a road like that is already fairly narrow, which discourages kind of high-speed driving. To introduce more calming measures, you could, of course, but it will come at a cost, right? It means during the day when that road is supposed to take in quite a lot of traffic, and it's a fairly busy road in the daytime, and if you have traffic calming measures like narrowing and all that.
Speed bumps are part of measures too?
Yes, yes. There are various kinds, right? A visual, a physical. It would mean that, you know, that road might not be able to take in as much traffic as that you need during, you know, peak hours. Another alternative might be to, I don't know, allow overnight free parking. So if you have a lot of cars on the sides at night, then people will find it more challenging to drive fast or might be discouraged to choose that stretch of road. But you know, there are 3,000 over km of roads in Singapore. If you do calming here, you'll find another place, right? You can't actually prevent behavior, right? Behavior is really the individual's control.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Christopher. It was most informative and insightful as well. We've been speaking to Christopher Tan, Senior Transport Correspondent for The Straits Times.
That was an SBH podcast by The Straits Times. Find us on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, or streaming on Google Home. Do feedback to us at podcast@sbh.com.sg.
You can also check out more podcasts on various topics at The Straits Times, The Business Times and Money FM 89.3.